In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, August 1st, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. If TV ratings determine who wins elections, Donald Trump is ahead of the game. The reality TV star Republican presidential nominee attracted more eyeballs to his acceptance speech in Cleveland than the former Secretary of State Democratic presidential nominee did to her speech in Philadelphia. 30.2 million viewers for Donald Trump versus 27.8 million for Hillary Clinton. RealClearPolitics.com reports that Donald Trump is preparing to fall back from an expansive national campaign and concentrate the bulk of his time and money on Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, which his campaign believes he must sweep in order to win the presidency. Obama won all three states in 2008 and 2012. In an interview with Chris Wallace on yesterday's Fox News Sunday, Hillary Clinton explained that every right Americans enjoy is open to and subject to reasonable regulations, especially the right to keep and bear arms.
And the Second Amendment includes an individual right to bear arms.
Yes, but that right, like every other of our rights, our First Amendment rights, every right that we have is open to and even subject to reasonable regulations.
Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Kaine told CNN that he still opposes using taxpayer money to fund abortions, a position that clashes with Hillary Clinton.
One more issue, Senator. The Hyde Amendment that bans taxpayer funding for abortion, for or against it?
I have been for the Hyde Amendment. I haven't changed my position on that.
Kaine, who is Catholic, says he is personally opposed to abortion, but supports the legal right to obtain one. He has earned a 100% rating from Planned Parenthood during his time in the Senate. A pastor in Turkey made headlines when he chose to forgive a group of Muslims who damaged his church. According to ChristianToday.com, Pastor Mata decided not to press charges against the Muslim men who broke windows and damaged a security camera at the pastor's rented church building. The extremists were reportedly angered that Muslims were accepting Christ as Savior. Pastor Mata told the judge, quote, "I'm not pressing charges because the Lord asked me to forgive," unquote. In Matthew 5:44, Jesus commands us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Brazil's anti-terror chief Luiz Salaberry admitted there is a, quote, "credible threat," unquote, that ISIS will target Rio with a dirty bomb this month during the Olympics. A dirty bomb is a weapon that combines radioactive material with conventional explosives. The Republican Party platform approved language supporting the religious liberty rights for foreign homeschool families who wish to emigrate to America. The platform also registers opposition to Common Core and far-reaching United Nations domestic treaties affecting parental rights. After absorbing nearly $1 billion in losses last year, Humana, one of the nation's leading health insurance providers, announced that it is pulling out of Obamacare plans in nearly all states, according to Forbes.com. The announcement came the same day the Obama administration declared that it would take legal action against the merger between Humana and Aetna, another top five health insurance provider. The News Sentinel, the newspaper of record in Knoxville, Tennessee, is treating the word Christian as if it were an obscenity. Fox News reports that the owners rejected a classified ad from the Cedar Springs Christian store. Operator of the store, Lois McGinnis, was shocked, saying, "As Christians, this was a slap in the face to us. Jesus said, 'If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first.'" John 15:18. WorldNetDaily.com is reporting a new wrinkle in the Planned Parenthood baby body parts case. Troy Newman, president of Operation Rescue, said, quote, "We believe that the grand juries under the Harris County District Attorney's authority were tainted beyond redemption by a personal and political agenda to cover up crimes of abortion providers," unquote. It turns out that one of the top lawyers in the Houston area DA's office sits on the board of the local Planned Parenthood. and that the prosecutors apparently coordinated information with Planned Parenthood. After 2 years of training, skydiver Luke Akins has become the first person to jump from 25,000 feet without a parachute, landing safely in a 100-foot by 100-foot net in Simi Valley, California. Fox Television, which broadcast his two-minute fall live on Saturday night, initially insisted that he must wear a parachute, but withdrew the obligation at the last minute. The BBC reports that after securing the world record for the highest jump without a parachute or wingsuit, Akins gave his wife and young son a big hug. And that's the World View on this Monday, August 1st in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, a homeschool father of five raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado during the decline of Western civilization and the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom in the Western world. If you look at all the indices, we're just happen to be broadcasting at a period of time in which faith, family, freedom have seriously broken down. The family as a social structure across the entire Western world. The faith, of course, slowly but surely disintegrating, at least in terms of its influence upon culture. And then finally, freedom is far, far less accessible than it was 100 years ago, according to all of the taxation per GDP ratios and so forth and so on. Well, not many people refer to these sorts of values because they're not values to most people. However, the Word of God establishes our values, and so we continue to hang on to these things as essential, especially if we care for our kids and our grandkids. Do we want to salvage faith, family, and freedom for our children in the next generation? And by the grace of God, and on our knees, we'll pray for this. We hope that these things will, or at least a measure of faith, family, and freedom will survive for our kids and grandkids, that we not leave them in gulags or in a complete state of apostasy or a complete state of breakdown of social systems and entire civilizations. All right. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about the Hillary script. This is one of the most interesting stories I think I've seen in a very long time. Newsbusters came out with a story. I think it's Maggie McNeely that wrote the story. Scandal: Hollywood spends decades scripting Hillary presidency. This is something that has been in the back of my mind for a while, but I have not been able to put words to it. She did. She nailed it. Man, the plan to bring Hillary Clinton to the forefront has been in the works for 30 years. This may be the only presidency in which the preparation for the presidency has been in the works for a very, very long time. And there has been a tremendous amount of prophetic work that has gone about in order to bring Hillary Clinton into the White House. This story is truly amazing. Now, of course, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was predated by 3,000 years of prophecy. So again, we're not saying Hillary Clinton is anyone any more important than the coming of Jesus Christ, but the coming of Hillary Clinton is a big deal. It's a really big deal, especially for the liberals and for the Hollywood elite. And please understand, my friends, that mass culture is powerful, extremely powerful in setting the values of the entire nation. One reason why the switch on homosexual marriage occurred so quickly, a 20% switch in public perceptions over a period of just 10 years, was not because of the church, but because of Lady Gaga and pop culture. Please understand, friends, these guys are the emissaries for the principalities and powers that shift the direction of entire nations. It's impressive. Yeah, it's impressive. And I think from time to time we need to step back and say, wow, principalities and powers that work through these mass cultural devices are really powerful. Dude, they are powerful. And so here's the Hillary Clinton propaganda machine, hard at work
leading up to her presumptive presidential nomination, entertainment media have been littered with a multitude of TV shows, movies, children's books, even songs inspired by the Democratic candidate. Now, I'm going to go through this as quickly as I can. 15 TV shows.
It's amazing.
Not one.
The list
not
is
10,
incredible.
15 TV shows.
Dating back to the 90s.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's jaw-dropping.
Yep.
Bill, I knew there was something afoot. I just watched 24, a segment of 24 about a week ago. I flipped it on. It was the eighth season or seventh season or something. I thought, you know, is it as bad as it was before? So I, you know, took a look at it. It's probably the first TV show that I've seen in about 5 years, maybe. So, and there it was.
Why that
yeah,
one?
I just don't watch Why it. I don't know. I was just, it popped up on my screen on Amazon. So I, you know, what's the 24 program doing these days? And of course they feature the president, a female president that Bill, for all the world, looked like Hillary Clinton. I mean, same haircut, same pantsuits. It's Hillary. That's Hillary. That show is preparing me to vote for Hillary in November of 2016. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Now, of course, this is an older season, so it's 2-3 years ago. And they've been doing this for 3-5 years. Well, that's just one of them. And, you know, there's 15 of them. Credible. At least five are based entirely on the fictionalizations of Hillary's real life, amounting to more than 189 hours of Hillary positive airtime. Morgan Freeman, producer of Madame Secretary, was inspired by the way Clinton defended herself during the Benghazi hearings. As early as the 1990s, TV shows have been promoting the idea of one specific female as president, Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton doesn't just appear in many TV shows. Been five series actually based on her life. Commander-in-Chief, Political Animals, State of Affairs, The Good Wife, and Madame Secretary, all inspired by the life of the former Secretary of State. Commander-in-Chief first aired in 2005, The Good Wife, which ran from 2009 to 2016. The show's premise focused on the governor's wife, Alicia, as she pursues her career and sticks with her husband, hence The Good Wife, despite a public sex scandal. Sounds like, smells like, looks like, sounds like. Come on.
I can't make a connection.
Starts
here.
With an H. Hillary.
Clinton.
Got it. This is an on-screen attempt to justify Hillary standing by her own wandering man. In 2012, Political Animals premiered during Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State. The show starred Sigourney Weaver as former First Lady Elaine Barish, serving as another Secretary of State. Well, that sounds a lot like
Hillary.
You got it. Political Animals lasted for one season, so NBC State of Affairs picked up the Hillary torch in 2014. Hillary has appeared on T-shirts, posters, birthday promos. At least 10 other TV shows have featured entire fictional plot lines or other show elements inspired by Hillary Clinton. Several shows, such as House of Cards and Scandal, draw major plot lines from Hillary's life. Although the creator of 24 denied that the character was expressly based on Clinton, the counterterrorism drama featured a Hillary-esque president. Another fictional first lady runs for president in ABC's Scandal after her husband's fall from grace. Guess what she does? Melly Grant seeks to take his place in the show's fictional version of the 2016 election. In contrast to the more serious Scandal in House of Cards, the show called Veep is entirely satirical and pokes fun at both parties. But it's no coincidence that the newest series debuted with Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character Selena Meyer as the newly elected president. Two other shows are set to include female POTUSes. The newest player in the field, Supergirl, will introduce original Superwoman Linda Carter as the female president when season 2 airs October 10th. And on it goes. Also, movies are doing the same thing. Independence Day Resurgence. I didn't see it, but evidently another pantsuit-wearing female president. Actress Selah Ward plays the part. No attempt at subtlety here. In an interview with Variety, the actor, Selah Ward, stated that she literally modeled her character off of Clinton. She said that she watched a lot of Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail just to see physically what she would do, how she would approach a podium, a crowd, etc., etc. Even listen to the cadence of her speeches. All right, my friends, it has been a 30-year plan. Hillary Clinton, she is being introduced to the most powerful office in the land, and Hollywood has done the best they possibly can. It goes through all this music, even gospel choirs have replaced the lyrics of familiar gospel songs using the word Hillary instead of Jesus, and we could go on and on and on. 25 children's books, this is amazing, This is more books on a living person, let alone a dead person, than I think anybody has ever produced on anybody's life in the history of publishing. 25 children's books promote Hillary. More than 25 children's books aimed at kids as young as 4 years of age have been published, singing Clinton's praises since 1994, and several more are set to be released right after this month's Democratic convention. One book teaches kids how tough as nails Clinton single-handedly paved the way for women everywhere. Jonah Winter, author of the book Hillary, stated that by becoming president, she would demonstrate that a girl can grow up to be the most powerful person in the world. That's the world where I want to live. This is a story I'm thrilled to tell. And on ago, the picture books do not document the numerous affairs, scandals, and cover-ups that are part of the Clinton story. Instead, these books focus on Hillary as trailblazer for women's rights everywhere. The cover of the comic book biography Female Force, Hillary Clinton, portrays an art rendering of Clinton posing as superhero-esque in front of a waving American flag. The book is designed to prove why Clinton detractors are just plain wrong. There's Hillary Clinton, Dreams Taking Flight, a gushy, over-the-top Hillary worship, even according to several reviewers, and on and on and on it goes. Superwoman role models, Hillary Clinton is sure to hold readers' attention as they learn valuable lessons about citizenship while exploring Clinton's life story when it debuts August 16th. On July 26th, yet another one is coming out, Hillary Clinton, American Woman of the World. And friends, the list of these made-for-kids Hillary propaganda goes on. Hillary Clinton, An American Journey, Female Force, Political Power, Hillary Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton, First Lady and Senator, on and on it goes. 25 books for children over a period of 25 years to be sure that these kids who are reading these books 25 years ago would vote for Hillary Clinton in the year 2016. Be back in just a moment with more on this topic on the Generations broadcast. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Adam McManus. You may recognize my voice from the Worldview in 5 minutes, played at the beginning of the Generations radio program every day. We've received so much positive feedback from our listeners about this newscast that we recently launched it as a standalone radio program at theworldview.com. Not only can you listen to this Christian newscast at theworldview.com, you can also subscribe to get The Worldview in 5 minutes delivered to you daily via email, iTunes, or other podcatchers via RSS. Needless to say, the whole process is quite time-consuming. 9 people work diligently to put it together. A couple people research the news stories at an hour apiece. Then the writers spend about 2 hours writing it, and I spend an hour or so taping it and editing it. And then finally, one of our editors adds in the music as well as the sound bites that were gleaned from interviews that very day. And all of it is 100% listener supported. If you've been encouraged by this broadcast, perhaps even using it in your own family worship like many of our listeners do, looking up scriptures and their relevance to today's headlines, please consider giving to support our continued work by going to generations.org/give and selecting Worldview News. Again, that's generations.org/give and selecting Worldview News. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here as we look at the Hillary Clinton script that has been prepared over 25 years in Hollywood, and others have done their best to prepare the entire country to bring the next POTUS in as Hillary Clinton. Not to say that this is going to happen, friends, but that's the script. That's been the plan. That's been the attempt to predestine the future on the part of the power movers and shakers in Hollywood anyway. No propaganda machine has worked so hard for so many years for this moment. In all of American history, I don't think Abraham Lincoln got this much press
25 to 30 years before he ran for president of the United States. I think he was still delivering mail somewhere in Illinois. No propaganda machine has worked so hard for so many years for this moment, friends. Has Hollywood worked so hard to get any one person elected over the last 30 years? I don't think you're going to find anybody in the history of Hollywood. Now, here's the question that really comes to my mind. Why the love affair with Hillary, and why has it been so front and center in the American consciousness for 25 years? I think here's the narrative. Bill, try it out. Here's the narrative that I want to put by you as to why America and certainly Hollywood and the movers and shakers in the culture have been infatuated with this woman. I think this is the cultural narrative of the day. She effectively represents the entire cultural narrative for the United States of America. Here's the way it works. The husband cheats on the wife in very public ways in which the entire world had a front seat view of what Bill Clinton was doing in the 1990s. So step one, husband cheats on wife. To put, and the reason this has to happen at the highest echelons of the land is it puts official approval on sexual license for every red-blooded American male, because, you know, we've got to get sexual license out of Pandora's box in order to destroy an entire sexual program for the nation and for the entire social system. So the husband cheats on the wife, and that has to happen to put official approval on sexual license for an entire nation. However, here's the problem. Feminism likes adultery and sexual impurity, but it doesn't like women taken advantage of. And that's what happened to Hillary Clinton. Therefore, here's the way the narrative has to go. The wife has to prove that she wins the power struggle. And the ultimate power struggle is to achieve POTUS.
Which then becomes FLOTUS.
That's right.
Right.
So, friends, that's the way the show is scripted.
And the perfect foil for her, the perfect opponent for her would be someone who, of course, is a misogynist, who is a philanderer, who is arrogant, who has the perfect hairdo, exaggerated. So he's Bill Clinton on caricature.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got Donald Trump as the perfect foil for this candidacy.
Sure. Because, friends, it has to happen this way, at least from the perspective of the feminism and the sexual decadence that drives the nation. On the one hand, the nation embraces a sexual decadence. On the other hand, the feminists, who themselves rather appreciate free love, sexual impurity, and adultery, but they don't appreciate the fact that a woman was taken advantage of. Therefore, in order for this woman to be vindicated, she has got to prove herself by winning the power struggle over the highest office in the land. This is what defines America today.
You know, it's interesting because you go back to the Garden of Eden, and what's the desire of the woman? To take the man's place.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's feminism's greatest victory. If they can achieve the ultimate zenith of power, this will become the final chapter, in a sense, of the present war that feminists have waged over this nation. They weren't able to get an additional amendment to the U.S. Constitution. You remember they were trying that in the 1970s. They weren't able to achieve it, but they've achieved it through the back door. Evangelicalism has pretty much entirely embraced feminism, except for a few dinosaurs like John MacArthur, John Piper, and maybe a few others. But overall, the nation has embraced feminism, hook, line, and sinker.
So we're going to usher in a new utopia.
Yeah, exactly. Except for Isaiah 3:12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women shall rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. It's interesting that the three Western nations, the three most powerful Western nations, will be led by women if Hillary Clinton is elected as president of the United States. Think about Germany, England, and America. What were the three most powerful nations in the West during World War II? Germany, England, and America. Now we find the three most powerful nations in the Western world. I'm not including Russia here or China, but the three most powerful nations in the Western world post-World War II. The three most powerful nations in the Western world that are themselves birth imploding. thanks to the feminists and the pro-abortion crowd, by the way. The three most powerful nations in the Western world that are birth imploding and developing an impressive debt-to-GDP ratio and doing the best to destroy their entire socioeconomic systems. The three most powerful Western nations led by women. It's interesting. Now, the ideology behind this starts with Gloria Steinem and Betty Friedan. And Bill, I'm just gonna read these ideologies again because I want people to understand that there is a distinction between what the Bible says and what Gloria Steinem and Betty Friedan say. I think it's important for Christians still to think critically on these things. These were the brain powers behind Hillary Clinton and the pro-abortion movement in the 1960s and 70s. Gloria Steinem said a liberated woman is one who has sex before marriage and a job after, which means that marriage is dispensable and preferably avoidable. And that, of course, is why the preference to single motherhood, and that why 57% of millennial women are having their children outside of wedlock. Friends, I mean, come on, ideas have consequences. Just admit it. Just admit it for a minute, can't you? Gloria Steinem won. Her ideology won out. Come on. This is the ideology that took the nation in the 1970s, and she won. Just admit it, she won. A liberated woman is one who has sex before marriage and a job after, thanks to abortion and the abortifacient forms of contraceptives by the pill. Now, Betty Friedan is the author of The Feminine Mystique. She wrote, "It is better for a woman to compete impersonally in society, as men do, than to compete for dominance in her own home with her husband, compete with her neighbors for empty status, and to smother her son that he cannot compete at all." So, of course, this is her worldview. And friends, if you don't understand that that's the wrong worldview, that's a really bad worldview. That's a wrong view of economy. That's a wrong view of marriage. Competition? I thought there was complementation. She's all about competition. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Just get your foot in the face of your husband. Get your foot in the face of the next guy. See, it's not complementation within the family economy. No, 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 no. The family economy is dead, except for a few family economics conferences sponsored by Generations what? Generations.org? You gotta be kidding me. All except for a couple of Christians left in the Western world that still believe in Proverbs 31 and Genesis chapter 2, where God says the wife will be a help meet or complementary to him, and the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need to spoil. Now, of course, please understand, Betty Friedan would hate that. She would hate that. She disagrees with that. Now, here's the question for every single Christian, man or woman listening to the program. Do you agree with Betty Friedan? It's better for a woman to compete impersonally than to compete for dominance in her home with her own husband. Do you believe that, or do you believe the Word of God? Do you stand strongly with Betty Friedan, or do you stand strongly with the Word of God? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need to spoil. Friends, who do you stand with here? Do you stand with God or Betty Friedan? Now remember, Betty Friedan founded NARAL. That was the oldest abortion rights advocacy group in the United States in 1969. Betty Friedan started the pro-abortion movement in 1969. She founded the National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Laws. And friends, she also divorced her husband and lied about him beating her, and said that the truth about me is that I've always been a bad-tempered, and she uses a B word for female dog. I've always been a bad-tempered female dog. So she's called herself a bad-tempered female dog who formed the National Abortion Rights Action League. And in 1977 at the National Women's Conference, she seconded a lesbian rights resolution. This is Betty Friedan. Now, my question for you again is, do you stand with Betty Friedan in her view of opposing any form of family economy? Or do you stand with God, who says the wife has been created for a help meet or complementary for the husband, and the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need to spoil? Do you stand with Betty Friedan, or do you stand with God? Every woman must face this question. Who do you go with here? Betty Friedan or God? Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The spirit of rebellion, of feminism, and abortion is just as strong across this country as the spirit of pornography, male abdication, Bill Clinton-esque activity, self-centeredness, and anger amongst the men. The spirit of feminism, abortion, female rebellion, just as strong as the spirit of pornography. And my guess is it's just as strong in many of our churches. Bill, so many of our churches are just filled with men who have these issues with pornography, male abdication, self-centeredness, and anger, and women who are filled with the spirit of feminism, abortion, and female rebellion. Now, these all constitute sins to be repented of, and thankfully, Jesus died on the cross for these sins. Now, these are also the sins that are defended by the most powerful presidents in the nation. They're sins defended by Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. These are the sins of the nation, and yes, they're practiced by hundreds of millions across this nation, but these are the sins that need to be repented of. See, at some point, we need to repent of something. We have to be faced with our own sins at some point, and these are the practical sins that really face the majority of Americans, whether they attend church or don't attend church, either way. But thankfully, and I end here once more on the gospel of Jesus Christ, please don't use Betty Friedan, don't use the ideologies, don't use Hillary Clinton. Don't use the President of the United States, and don't use the Supreme Court of the United States to justify your feminism or your homosexuality, your porn habit, or your tendency to commit adultery on your wife. Please don't use the President of the United States and the Supreme Court of the United States to justify yourself. You stand naked before the law of God that condemns you. You stand naked in the before the judgment seat of Christ who condemns you, but you also stand right now, if you're willing, you'll stand before the cross of Jesus Christ and realize that he took the punishment for your sins and he died on that cross that you might be forgiven and cleansed of those sins. So we call you once again to repentance and to receive the forgiveness of Jesus on this program. And we call Hillary Clinton, if she's listening, and Bill Clinton as well, because they're just sinners like the rest of us and they need to repent of their sins as we need to repent of our sins. And turn to Jesus and realize that, wow, these are sins that have a tremendous power over us. And it's time to stop justifying ourselves and time to get honest in front of the cross of Jesus and say, I am a sinner and I need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me from these sins. Well, my friends, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ as it speaks once again to an entire nation and to every single man, woman, and child that listens to this radio program. As we wrap up the program, I encourage you to grab a copy of Keep the Faith on the Family. It's Keep the Faith on Sexuality and the Family. And it's a brief book that deals with the sins of the nation, but also takes us back to the gospel of Jesus Christ as the only solution. So grab a copy of our resources at our new website, generations.org. If you haven't visited our website recently, we just put up a new website, brand new website for the first time in 6 years. Visit the new website at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.